For taking your time to be here in the house of the Lord. And it's always a joy to see you and share the Word of God with you. So I've been doing a lot of reading, and I always do a lot of reading. I tell you that every Sunday, don't I? Well, he does a lot of reading. Well, I mean, I do. I do a lot of reading. I like to read. I read more than I watch TV. So, but you know what? That's okay. But I also like to be prepared. I like to be able to, you know, to hear what God wants us to know. I like to be able to say what God wants us to hear. And these are strictly not my opinions. These are from the Word of God, what I'm about to share with you. So today, as you know, we are getting ready this coming Saturday to celebrate the 4th of July. And I know, it's, you know, one of the things, I don't know about all preachers, but this preacher, it seems like this preacher, you know, I always gear my mind to think, well, I've got to have something in line with every holiday. And some holidays are easier than others. But the 4th of July is a good holiday because it reflects freedom. And if a preacher can't preach about freedom, there's something wrong, right? Amen? So guess what the sermon's going to be about today? It's going to be about freedom. It's going to be about liberty. It's going to be about the freedom and liberty as a Christian, as a child of God, that we have in God through Jesus Christ. Now, what the definition that I've found about what freedom is. And I want to read this to you. This is the definition of what freedom is. It says, freedom is the right to speak, act, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. That's the definition that I found about the word freedom. The right to act, to speak, or to think without hindrance or restraint. Now keep that in mind as we go through this sermon, this message this morning. Keep that in mind. So, I want you to, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I got several scriptures here that I want to touch on. Out of the book of Galatians, chapter 5, starting in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verse 13. I'd like to ask you to flip over there with me, and we're going to read this together this morning, or maybe look at it together. You can read along with me if you'd like. But I want to tell you this morning, I want to read to you this morning what Paul writes out of the book of Galatians, chapter 5, starting in verse 13. And there's a few other scriptures I may skip down and read. But to begin with, there's a little subtitle up above my translation. I got two translations here. One's in the New International Version. Then on the other side of the page is the New King James Version. But on the New International side version, it says a little subtitle. It says, Life by the Spirit. That's what it says in black bold letters. Life by the Spirit. And this morning, church family, I hope, and let me reflect on my life. My life, I live by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that dwells inside of me is what I live my life by, or I should try to live my life by every day. But let me read to you what Paul writes. He writes in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But he says, do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. He says, rather, serve one another humbly in love. And it goes on in verse 14, it says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to stop right there just for a minute. Christian liberty, Christian freedom, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We are to humbly serve one another in love. Not that we expect to receive something in return. Like, I love Kathy, she's got to love me because I'm expecting her to love me back. But that's not the way it works. If I love you, and I say I love you, I prove to you I love you, I walk in love with you, you don't have to give me anything. And that's freedom. That's liberty. That's the same kind of freedom that God has given each one of us. That we are to love one another as we love ourselves. I love me. I don't know about you. You know, I love me. Do you love you? Is that a crazy question? Is that a weird question? Preacher, you're weird. I've been told that before. People tell me, you're weird. Well, who doesn't love themselves? But can you believe that? There are people in this world that do not love themselves. And that's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's not the way God wants us to live. You know, I read this week that the Spirit of God, once it came inside of me, I'm telling you the truth. As God is my witness, before God ever come along, I didn't love nobody. I didn't even love me. That's what was wrong with my life. That's why my attitude was so terrible. That's why my behavior was so terrible. It's because I had no love. I had no spirit of love. I wasn't led by the Spirit of God. I had no light in me. I was full of darkness. I was full of sin. I was full of deceit. And you say, oh, that's extreme. You're just stretching the truth. No, that's the truth. That's the God-honest truth. And people say, well, how do you know? You wouldn't believe how many people ask me, how do you know? How do you know if God's real? How can you prove to me? Have you ever been asked that? Have you ever had anybody ask you, how do you know God's real? Have you ever seen God? Have you ever seen Him face to face? So how do you know? Well, this is how you know. Amen? This is how you know. If you're led by the Spirit, I'm going to tell you, if you're led by the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, then you are going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? You're going to live by those fruits. You're not only going to live by them, you're going to produce them. And people are going to see it. They're going to see your fruits. Let me read this to you. Are you ready for this? This is good. This is some good stuff right here. Paul goes on to say this. Paul says in verse 16, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He said, live by the Spirit, and you will not want to do the things of the flesh. He goes on to say, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Did you know this morning as you sit here in the house of God that your flesh is at war with your spirit? Do you know that? You thought, I don't know about that, preacher. My flesh is at war with my spirit every day. Hey, this flesh is unruly. This flesh will do, believe you me, it will do whatever you let it do. Amen? It will. If you don't keep your flesh in check, how are you going to keep your flesh under control? How do you keep the flesh under control? By the Spirit that's in you. Is that connecting this morning? Is that making any sense this morning? Let me go on. It's going to get better than that. Let me go on to this. So Paul says, they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, Paul says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And in verse 19, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Everything that the flesh does that's not of God is very obvious. You know all the running around in the streets, all the havoc, all the chaos that's going on in the world right now? You take a look and tell me, as a man of God that reads this every day, you tell me what you think. Do you think setting buildings on fire, destroying this and pulling people out of their cars and beating people up and you name it, defying authority? Do you tell me if that's being led by the Spirit? Or is that being led by the flesh? But Paul goes on to write to say this. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious. But he goes on down, and I'm not going to read all the things of the obvious that makes the flesh obvious, but he goes on to down in verse at the end of verse 21, and he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes on down in verse 22, and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, those that belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And he says, since we live by the Spirit, he says, let us keep in step. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know what I'm doing when I lose self-control? Let me tell you what I'm doing. When I let this flesh take over, when I let this flesh take over and do whatever it wants to do and act the way it wants to, think the way it wants to, behave the way it wants to, guess what I'm doing? I'm stepping out of time with the Spirit that lives inside of me. I'm not keeping in time. I'm not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. I'm falling behind. I've got to keep up. Church family, we got to stand up. We got to keep up. We got to keep in step. We got to keep in time with the Holy Spirit. Is that a good word to you this morning? I know I don't want to hear this is too hard. I don't want to hear none of this. It's not too hard. Because when you lose self-control, when you open your heart to hate, when you open your heart to anger, when you open your heart to whatever it is that's not of God, you're stepping out of the Spirit and you're stepping over into the flesh. And that flesh is ready. Believe you me, the flesh is ready to take over. Man, this flesh, it would box, it kick, scratch, bite, you name it, it'll do it if I let it every day. I work with some tough guys, and there's a lot of days I want to go in, and man, I want to. But the Spirit won't let me because I got to stay in time. I got to stay in step with the Lord. And if I say, If I say I'm being true to God, if I say I'm living unto the Lord, then shouldn't I have to do something? Shouldn't I have to do something to make that happen? Sure, I got to make a choice. I got to make a decision every day. I got to get up in the morning and I got to put on the full armor of God. I can't leave one piece of it behind. I got to put on all of it. Because, man, I'm in a war. I'm in a spiritual war. I'm battling principalities in high places. And we got to be equipped with all that God has given us so that we can stand up against the fiery darts of the devil. Somebody's going to question you, Jesus. Somebody's going to say, do you really think your Jesus is going to save you? Do you really think your Jesus is real? Do you think He's going to last? Do you think He's going to be thrown out? Hey, preacher, what are you going to do when they come and get your Bible? Hey, preacher, what are you going to do when they throw you into jail for preaching Jesus? What you going to do then? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I've always done for the last however many years, 15, 16 years, however long I've been a Christian. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. What else can I do? You know, we read in Sunday school this morning, those that lay their hand to the plow. You know, the Scripture says those that lay their hand to the plow and looks back are not fit for the kingdom of God. We can't turn back now. We got to go all the way. Man, I got to use my freedom. The freedom, the Bible doesn't say that the freedom that was given to us, it says we were called to freedom. God didn't just hand over freedom to me. He didn't hand over freedom to you either. It says in the Word of God that He called us to freedom. How did He call us to freedom? Well, I'm about to tell you. Are you ready? God called us to freedom at a high price. We don't belong to ourselves. The Word of God that I read says that we were called to freedom by a high price. And that high price was the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary. That one man named Jesus Christ gave His life, shed His blood, and called us to freedom, called us to liberty in God. Is that not a good word to you this morning? I thought, man, what's wrong with the preacher this morning? Is this good? Is this good to you this morning? Listen, I don't know, the Lord has a great word for all of us, a great plan for all of us. And whether we choose to accept it or not is up to us. Whether we use our liberty and freedom. And furthermore, Paul told the Corinthians, they said, let me touch on grace just for a minute. You know, you always, if you're talking about freedom, you're talking about liberty, you got to also, like making a cake. I'm not a good cake maker. Probably wouldn't look too good if I made a cake. But some ingredients, you got to throw in a little grace, okay? Let's throw in a little grace this morning. Paul told the Corinthians, he was telling them, hey, you don't need to keep doing what you're doing. I'm paraphrasing. He said, don't keep sinning. Don't use the Lord as an avenue to sin and indulge in sin. So they said, then what should we say? Should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? Listen, the only thing that sin brings is more sin. Amen. Grace don't abound in sin. The only thing that sin brings is more sin and more bondage and more problems. But Paul said, no, you're not to keep on sinning. You are to stop sinning. You are to turn your life over to the Lord and let the Lord lead you by His Spirit, by His grace, by His mercy. And be Spirit-filled. Then you will abound in God's grace. You know, the only way I grow in God's grace is by following God. That's the only way. That's the only way to success. Listen, I could tell you some terrible stories about my life. I could. I could tell you some awful things. And I could whine about it for the rest of my life. But you know what? I don't have no need to. Because look what God has done for me. Look what God has done. Look where He has brought me from and where He's got me right now. I'm a firm believer this morning. Every day I'm growing in the graces of God. I'm abounding in prosperity of the Lord. And there's no other way to explain it. There's no other way to prove it other than letting my life reflect what God's done and what He's still doing. Listen, God's not done with you. You think God's done with you this morning? He's not. God's not done with you. Church family, God's not done with you. He's not finished with you. He's got more for you. And if you want it, you want more from God, just ask Him. Jeff, He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Pam, Brita, Dennis. All you guys say, Lord, open the doors and give it to me. And He'll open them. And He'll let you walk through them. And He'll show you. Man, you just don't know. People don't know. But listen, moving on. Let me tell you this. Moving on. One more thing I want to share with you this morning. And then I wrote this down because this is good. This right here. So I do a lot of reading, like I said. I do a lot of reading. And a lot of things catch my eye that really just like a light bulb that goes off. You know, I read this week about, I'm trying to find it here. Right here. So, I read this question this week. And the question that especially Christians shouldn't be asking themselves today. I should never ask myself this question as a child of God. I don't believe I should never ask myself this question. If my attitudes or my behaviors or my thoughts are going to send me to hell. I should never as a Christian ask myself that. But what I should be asking myself is this. If my attitudes, my behaviors, and my thoughts are going to help me or help someone else. That's what real Christian liberty is. See, we know as Christians what to do and what not to do by simply reading our word. We know that. But I should never ask myself, because you know, I used to ask Brother Della, well, how do you know if something's wrong or if something's right? And you know what he would always tell me? You're going to laugh when I tell you this. He said, Brother Phil, you don't need to ask me that question. He said, you already know the answer to that question. He said, if you're asking me if something's wrong or right before you do it, the Lord's already given you the answer to that question. Hasn't He? And so, you know, I was always expecting some kind of theological explanation that would help me out. And I never did like His answer. And I never did get it for a long time. If you're already asking me if something that you're about to do or you're thinking about doing is wrong, you already know it's wrong before you do it. And you know why you know it's wrong or if it's right? Because the Spirit that lives inside of you is already telling you the answer. It's either yea or nay. So you already know. So don't come to me and say, Preacher, do you think it's wrong if I cuss every once in a while? Well, you already know that answer. you already know. But I'll pray with you about it. All right, one last thing. One last thing. And this is, I'm going to close. We're going to have communion. And I don't know how we got back over here in the Old Testament, but last night I was going over this, and this story came to me. This story came to me over in 1 Kings. You don't have to turn there, but you can write the scripture down. You can go back and read the story later on if you want to. But over in 1 Kings chapter 18, it's 20, verse 20 through 40. It's a very good story. And I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to run through it real quick. Elijah, one of the last prophets of the Lord, went up against 450 prophets of Baal. And he said to the people, he said, how long will you limp around between two opinions? And that's all I'm going to read of that scripture. He said, how long will you limp around between two opinions? He said, if the Lord God is the true God, then follow Him. And if the God of Baal is the true God, then follow Him. And you know, the story goes on to say, he said, I'm the last prophet of the Lord. They done killed them all. All of them. They were all gone. They were just one. One man against 450 prophets of Baal. And at the end of the, this is a perfect picture to me of freedom in the Lord, of liberty in the Lord. Elijah stood up for God and proclaimed his God before all these 450 men. And he is God, his true God, the one that he believed in, the one that he served and followed, revealed himself right there that day on Mount Carmel in front of all those people. And they saw what happened at the offerings. They saw what happened to the altars. And those men, they called on their God. They called on them, and they said, the Bible says they cut themselves in as so much as blood gushed from them. They chanted, they sang, they cried, but their God they believed in never answered them. But those people at the end were seized, and they met with a very dreadful fate. But listen, I tell you that for one reason. Take your liberty today. I was so happy when I was handed this right here. This little button. Jackson. Where's Jackson? Jackson walked up to me and handed me my little card. And he handed me this little button. Hey, look. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to wear the flag. I'm proud to stand up for my country. I'm even prouder to stand up for Christ. And you should be too. So today, as we close, use your freedom. Use your liberty. Let the Spirit of the Lord lead you in everything you do. Don't go out. I mean, I'd love to. I'd love to go out in the streets and get all ill and huffy. You know, get out there and like, man, I got my Jesus shirt on. Got my cross. Whack a few people in the head with my cross. But I can't do that. But what we can do, we can let those people out there that don't know the Lord. If you want to win a soul to the Lord, walk in love. They may try to hurt you. They may try to put some tape over your mouth. I don't know. But let them do whatever they want to do. And maybe they'll come to see the love of Christ in you is strong and real. And they'll come to know the Lord just as you do today. How about that? That'll put a smile on your heart. Amen. All right, we're going to have a song of invitation. Are you glad you got up and came to church this morning? Are you glad I'm done? So God, I'm glad that preacher's done. Hey, when you got a message, you got a message. That's just the way it is. Listen, if you need prayer in any way today, I'll be happy to pray with you. The altar is always open. You don't have to wait for an invitation to come to this altar. This is the Lord's altar. And all you have to do is come and bow down humbly before the Lord, and He'll meet you here. He's already here. You brought Him with you this morning. A lot of times, this is a church. We got to go to church to meet God. You brought God. You woke up with Him this morning. He's in you this morning. But if you need prayer, I will lay my hands on you and pray for you and do whatever I can for you as we sing our song of invitation.